Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everybody doing this week?
April's not going bad. Yeah. I like April.
Yeah. Better than March.
It's better than March. I'm going to use this phrase, pouring snow here today. Like, it was like, yeah, you looked out the window and you were just like, that's not how snow is supposed to come down.
Ooh. Yeah. So it was like super wet snow, just like.
Well, no, at first it was like really cold, hard, like hail, like snow, and then it did become wet, but the winds, we were having intense winds, so it was 32, but it felt like 21.
Well, that's fun.
Anyway, it's April 14th.
Yeah, that's nice. We had tornadoes on the ground last night, and it was 72 degrees or something, so just normal
that's right.
stuff.
Anne was trapped in her basement for most of Dynamite.
I was just down in the basement, you know, and then when I came back up, I like couldn't quite get my head back in a wrestling space, so it was a weird, weird night.
Yeah, once you've grappled with like the forces of nature, then returning to the forces of TV wrestling, a little bit of a letdown. But I agree, many things are going better in April, so the weather we cannot control. Let's start out by talking about Jurassic Express fought Red Dragon for the tag team titles on Dynamite. This was a really fun match. Jurassic Express retained. Afterwards, Kyle and Bobby were like staggering towards the tunnels, and FTR, it's like everything comes back to FTR, unfortunately, came out with like their AAA and ROH belts. And I think, did you think they were there to like kind of menace Jurassic Express, or like,
I don't know, because I wasn't watching them until like
sister.
So like, yeah. So I only, like, once they started yelling at like Red Dragon, I was like, is this happening? So, I mean, it makes sense, because I don't know why they'd come out like to challenge Red Dragon.
No, I think it seemed like what happened basically was that they were like being like, Jurassic Express, we've got belts and we'd love some more. But then FTR were like, or Red Dragon were like pretty worked up and just kind of intercepted, and they got into a scuffle, and probably they will fight.
Was Kylo still holding the belt, Jurassic Express belt?
No, I think he left it back there. At the end of the match, after he'd lost, like picked up the belt and was just being like, I got the belt! I love my boy. What outcome were you guys hoping for here?
Oh God, I wanted Jurassic Express to drop the belts to Red Dragon so bad. Yeah. And I thought there was a reasonable chance it was going to happen. And so when they won, it was just kind of disappointing, because they haven't really been that exciting as champs. And you have to see it coming that Red Dragon would be chaotic as champs.
It'd be crazy. The last time we talked about this, I think I like couldn't imagine Red Dragon as champs. And I apparently said that Kylo wasn't ready for that responsibility, which I agree with. I mean, I think I was right, but I did have a complete turnaround where I was like, and therefore they should be champs. Of course he'll be unhinged, and that's great. I want to watch that man lose his mind while Bobby's just like, I'm trying to hold this family together. This family, the two of us.
Him always just sitting on the ring with his head between his knees because he can't handle it. Yeah, I like didn't even have the experience, because I didn't get to watch it live because I was in my stupid basement. So I was spoiled by the time I watched it today. But I do feel like Jurassic Express have been so boring with the belts that they deserve to have them taken from them like immediately. It's like, you do something with these or you're not allowed to have them anymore.
Right. They've done nothing, and I am like going through something where I've been reading the Cage Side Seats recaps. Anne and Leah know this, because I like won't stop putting quotes in our schedule being like, can you fucking believe what they said this time? Which, again, I will be over in a couple weeks. I will just be a nerd to it. But like, they were really like, it was right for Jurassic Express to retain. They've done the work to stay hot.
That's crazy.
That's like, not correct.
If there's anything that they haven't done, it's do any work to stay hot.
I know.
Like I know. Sometimes there's something going on where I'm like, they're wrestling really good. I get that they do good wrestling, but there's nothing else happening. You know that, right?
Yeah. Right. And I was reading people talking about, and unfortunately they were just like Marco stunt fans, but like people saying that like, Jungle Boy has just become a normal boy recently. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he wears street clothes and he can speak, you know, well, not yeah. well, but he can. He can speak. His gimmick before was that like he was a feral little boy. And so now it's sort of like, yeah, I get that like he had to grow up, but like he hasn't replaced that with anything. So he's just a guy.
I know. I do feel like I'm not like Marco Stunt. I like it. It's fine, but I'm not like a super fan or anything. But I do feel like the whole group has sort of lost something by losing him. It's just like it feels less fun because it felt so weird before. Weird and cartoony.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's in an in-between. Yeah. It's like not cartoony for kids, but it's not interesting for adults either. I do wonder if, again, if Christian turned heel and Jungle Boy had to face some hardships in his life and he had to struggle, he's abandoned by a mentor.
That's what growing up is.
That's growing up.
Okay, but if Christian turned heel, couldn't you see like a little scene where Christian's on one side of the room and Luchasaurus is on the other side of the room and they're both going, come here, boy. Come here, Jack. Come here.
Yeah, and Jungle Boy's turning in circles and he looks so scared and upset. There's no, he doesn't know where to go. And then eventually Anna Jay comes by and she's like, guys, stop torturing him. Just come here. And he's so gratefully goes to Anna Jay. He's like, that's my girlfriend. That's my girlfriend.
Oh, I know.
Thank God. Well, I'd love to see that, I guess. If Red Dragon are not going to be the next tag team champs, who do you think it's going to be?
It's crazy. I went and looked at the whole list and it's like, my pick would be the Acclaimed. I think it would be amazing. Yes. I know it's not going to happen, but it would be great.
Tony, please. It would be so funny.
I need somebody to be fun as the champs and they would be extremely fun.
What's very funny is I think the last time we discussed this, I think I made a crack about Max Caster doing obscene things with the belt, and that was before Ty Conti and Sammy actually did.
I mean, yeah, but with him it would be fun.
It would be fun. It would
be solo perf stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, the only people on the list of tag teams that I remotely think could possibly be, because you think it has to be a heel because it's gone, like the Lucha Brothers were faces when they had it and they lost it to Jungle Express. I think it would be mildly insane if it went to a third face, but what? The only reasonable heel tag team I think is Brody and Malakai, but
that feels so crazy. They're like so off in their own little, they're like the new Codyverse. I feel like they just are doing their own thing.
They start in the Codyverse, so it's kind of like they haven't come out of the Codyverse.
They're like,
to
not
me,
interacting with anybody.
It sort of is like they don't know that belts exist. Like they're a little bit. That's, I'm really above that.
That actually,
Pagan
now I
gods
am just
are not interested in human belts.
No, I am just imagining that Buddy Matthews is like, guys, could be cool if we got a belt, and that like the other two are just like, you still don't understand what's happening here. Okay, you need to study harder because you don't get what we're about.
We saw this week, you brought it to us, right? Where, it was Brody King was like, basically like, Buddy Matthews doesn't understand what we're doing. And Malakai sent him like pages and pages of reading material. And he was like,
well, and the funny part that I was like, this is relatable, dude, is that like, he was like, sometimes Buddy will like bring us something. And he's like, is this the aesthetic? And then we'll be like, no, that's kind of more Slipknot-y. And like, the vibe is like, you can just picture Buddy Matthews being like, it does all look the same to me.
Like, you know, on Parks and Rec where like Tom Haverford and Jean Ralphio are like, you probably think these both look like black, and it's like two black things, and like, this one's ebony and this one is like midnight.
Which I'm like, that is, you know, it's true that, and I'm not acknowledging that enough when I'm like, they all go to Hot Topic so they should hang out together. There are some really different things going on in a Hot Topic, and they may look the same to you from the outside, but actually those groups are not aligned, so that's on me. I have no clue what's gonna happen. I agree that like it can't, it's just that we've had two face reigns where the faces haven't like done that much, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's been really boring for a long time with the tag team champs.
I don't know, and that list was so weird where I think I said I was like, there's like plenty of tag teams on it, but then at the same time I was like, there are three tag teams here. Like, it's like I was just like, this is not a full set of tag teams, but it is a lot, but is it?
It feels like it is. I don't know. It felt like a very weird, like, oh, is this all we have in the store? Like, there's nothing in the back. Like, okay.
We didn't get a tag team delivery this month. Tony, bring us some more new men.
Somewhere Tony just sat up so excitedly. Like, finally, they ask for the men.
They want the men.
Give best friends the tag team champions. Let's bring them in the mix, guys.
I'm worried about...
It wouldn't be boring. We would just never see the belts ever again.
No. And just take them back to their hotel and it'd be gone
forever.
That's
when Chuck Taylor legitimately stops coming to work and they never get the belt back. Oh, man. Okay, well, speaking of that, let's move on to what was happening with Best Friends / Blackpool Combat Club this week. So Bryan Danielson fought Trent on Rampage last week and won. This was the normalest match of wrestling you've ever seen in your life.
Very normal. They did a good job. It wasn't sexual at all.
No. Just Craig said, I didn't professionally come here to fuck.
Doing wrestling.
Came to fight.
Those were two coworkers. Yeah. They got the job done.
Extreme coworkers. Yep.
So interesting
to see.
Put together
on a project. Yeah.
Really something different. Did you guys feel like it was like clear why this was happening, really?
No, I thought that like maybe there would be something that would make it clear whether like Trent was like mad at Bryan Danielson for sort of pushing the Yuta thing or what, like whether there was some kind of, you know, like feeling around that. But no, Trent just showed up to work. So
yeah,
that's fine.
What did they say in the like setup for this one? Like, I feel like they were kind of like Yuta has to impress Mox. And then my memory is so vague. It's like Trent and Danielson. Did they even say what it was, or was it like he's going to impress him? I don't know.
Well, they did the two promos, and in one of them, I think that Greg was like, I don't know. I think maybe he was like, I'll prove that like we are as good as that. I'm making it up. Right. I don't remember that. That seems like maybe like what they might have done. But it didn't make sense because it was kind of like, Greg, they're just giving you what you want, which is to get rid of this little baby boy. So
Right.
I don't know what you're fighting for.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because Trent does not want them to give you to back.
No. I mean, I guess like maybe he's fighting for like Dustin and Orange Cassidy's honor. Like that it's like you were abandoned by your son, so I'll fight his new fathers for you. It was a little complicated.
There's lots of possible motivations. I feel like they didn't quite settle on one. So.
They did not.
Yeah.
William Regal was really talking Trent up on commentary and dunking on Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor. That faction is trash. Best Friend sucks ass, but Trent could be a good wrestler if he got away from those freaks. And I was like, please, we actually need him. We're being decimated.
I know. I was like, I really like that you're talking up Trent, but it is a lot of like, he hangs around with those two imbeciles, but he has a lot of potential.
Mr. Regal, those are my sons.
Yeah. I feel like that is kind of a lot of like older wrestlers, probably feelings on the Best Friends as a group. It's like, Trent's good. I don't know why he's hanging out with these guys, but.
Man. When secretly, actually, Trent is the weirdest of the three of them.
I know, he is. He just puts on
absolute
a good show.
Absolute freakazoid. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And then for the Rampage Showstopper, Yuta had his, like, seemed like his, like, boss battle to get into Blackpool Combat Club with Mox. He went in high energy, attacked Mox before he ever got to the ring. Mox didn't even get to take his jacket off, which I thought was so funny that he was just being like, get my fucking jacket off.
His face was so funny. He was like, you fucking kid, I wasn't ready.
This match went really hard. And Leah, you saw this one in person.
I sure did. And this is the one that I wanted to discuss with you guys so bad last week because I was like high coming out of there. And like, I had seen the Young Bucks and FTR that day. So for me to come out of that thing being like, fucking Yuta. So people were chanting for Yuta the second he came out. Like, it was like 80% Yuta chance to 20% Mox chance. Like, baby boy is over. He is
over. I love
over
that.
Big time.
That's crazy.
And that's like, I think that's like a fun chanting situation too, because it's like everyone's chanting being like, you have to let him in. We want to see him in the faction.
Yes. Yeah, there was actually a let him in chant at the very, very end, which was very happy.
Sweet boy.
Well, he knew he had to bleed with Mox to be a real Mox head, and he really bled. Did. He really pulled that off.
And I got to see it because he was bleeding like where we could see it. So he laid face down on the mat and had his face shoved in the corner where the stairs meet the wrestling ring, and he just had his face in there for a while, and then he just popped up and was like, "I'm bleeding."
I'm like,
did
really
you see
beaming
his little hands like moving around in there?
Yeah, or, yeah. Well, because I think he had his hands in front of him, but he just okay. had his face shoved so hard in the corner.
Oh, quite sweet.
You need privacy when you're gonna chop yourself up.
Yeah, you don't want people to see. Nailed it. Yeah, so very, 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 very fun match. I mean, it's been days since it happened, so I don't remember a lot of the details, but
one more stupid thing good. Which is that yeah. my friend Blaine, who it was her first ever wrestling match, but they started chanting after you'd bladed, they started chanting "fight forever," and she thought that they were chanting "blood forever." She's just next to me going "blood forever." It was so funny.
I love that, Blaine. We're gonna carry that one into a future event. I can see me chanting that someday for sure.
Kind of how I usually feel when there's a lot of blood. So
I mean that
it was smeared everywhere. It was puddling. It was
to me. Unfortunately, stuff. There can never be too much blood.
The fact that he was able to write BCC on his tits in blood. Wow.
Insane. Wow. Absolutely crazy. Totally yeah. Crazy. So, and afterwards, Regal and Danielson came out, and Mox was being like, wow, I can't. Mox choked him out, but he was being like, I can't believe how much he impressed me. Like, his vibe was like, wow, he really fought. Mm-hmm. And then you got a handshake from William Regal, and now yeah. he is. Because we
gave
got
a little long, like, am I going to slap him? Am I going to shake his hand? Kind of.
I thought the slap and the handshake would be the same thing, basically. I was like, however he touches you, it means you're in.
Right. No doubt about it. I really love William Regal. He really brings a lot to this.
He's wild.
So wild.
There was, Leah, I know you saw this because you brought it to me, and I don't know if you had watched this, but Blackpool Combat Club and Danhausen did like a little comedy sketch after this week's Dynamite where like Yuta like, trailed after Mox while Mox did his exit from way back, and I think someone said it was like very much like a little like intern like like shadowing someone for a job, and then Mox said they didn't want you to hanging out with dumb idiots like Danhausen.
He was like, Mox goes, who the fuck is this? And Yuta goes, that's Danhausen. He's like an old friend. He's just like, he's
kind
just
of but it's a little complicated now.
It's a little complicated now. And then Mox is just like, the look on his face was just like, oh god, it was just so perfect. It was like, so funny.
Yeah, I did watch it. That was my homework. I was finishing up before I got on this Zoom. But yeah, and then when Mox is like, we don't want you hanging around people like this, like do 10 push-ups or whatever, like that was
give me 10.
Very like coach big brother, like a very stern, I don't know, it really worked for me as like a
yeah. It's clear that Yuta was really craving structure, commanding structure in his life that he wasn't getting from.
Right. He loves to do 10 push-ups.
He's the kid that was raised on the hippie commune, but he wanted to be in the army.
Oh my God. Yeah. He just wants dinner to be at a regular time.
Oh, no.
Also, Danhausen cursing William Regal, and William Regal selling for it with everything in him.
Was so
perfect.
Intense. It was great. Fun. Jeff had told me that William Regal is very willing to be very silly, but that was like so fun to watch. Yeah. Like, and it works so well when he has such like a dignified British persona.
Yeah, scampering funny. Backwards against away from Danhausen with the little suit and like just it was great.
Yeah, I loved it. And this is kind of like Danhausen has also been doing, he's been still doing his like curse cat and mouse with Hook, where he keeps trying to curse Hook and Hook is like done, it didn't work.
He's immune.
So he's got, they're kind of using him in a slightly different way than they were at first. He's just going around doing his curses. You guys like it? No? Yes?
I've been enjoying it. It's kind of nice to just like mix up who you see him with, and I don't know, they're funny little bits. I assume he's not like healed up enough to do wrestling is probably what's happening.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it's going way better than just sticking him with best friends. Like I think the bit with Hook is very funny.
It
and
is.
Just having him, just using him this way is great.
Yeah. If you've got like,
especially when you're just like using him in like small doses and he's really funny and you can just, you could do the whole roster, you know?
It's great. Like if there's just like a freak lurking backstage who could pop up at any time, to me, that's entertainment. That's what I want.
I want him popping out from under the ring. I want him popping out of doors backstage, just like every which way. Yeah.
I want to be
thinking.
You can
hide him in garbage cans. Like, come on.
I want to be thinking, like, how is that guy spending his time? And it's not that clear, but he could always be where you are.
Wasn't that what Orange Cassidy did for a while? Is he would just be, like, in weird places backstage and, like, pop up in the middle before you.
I guess there's a reason that they're friends.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
Well, I wonder if we'll ever see Orange Cassidy wrestle again or if his arm is hurt forever.
Poor little broken wing.
K-M-E. It makes me crazy that he'll never share information. So at least like with Greg, we knew about when he was going to come back, but we don't know what kind of injury he has. We don't know how long he's going to be gone. It could not be injured right now, and he could be wearing a fake sling, and we wouldn't know that either. He doesn't give a shit. He won't tell me nothing.
No. Yeah, but also Greg did misdirect us about him coming back. So Orange Cassidy, he might. Yeah, maybe he'll come back next week. Maybe he'll throw his little sling off and jump into the ring and defend somebody. I would love that.
I want to see my boys wrestle. I'm never going to see my boys again. Chuck Taylor's getting abandoned by Trent. Trent never going to come on TV again. Really struggling, honestly. Okay, let's move on. MJF and Sean Dean were scheduled to fight on Dynamite. So there was like a little opening portion where MJF was doing some very, very funny comedy riffing about like how his scarf being caught in his jacket and Sean Spears was like being his mom, like trying to help him get it out. But then it was just a ploy so he could attack Sean Dean, blah, 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 blah. Cut backstage. We've got more security guards on the floor. One shirtless. I'm not proud of it. It did take me a minute to register like, oh, that's a security guard disguise. And I was like, okay, I think we got to draw the line somewhere. I don't think he can go around stripping security guards.
Leave them their dignity.
We are entering a sex crime territory that I don't feel super comfortable with. Then I caught on. So Wardlow did show up disguised as a security guard, menaced MJF. Eventually got like taken down by about 20 security guards. Huge pile.
It was so funny. I feel like they're really escalating like the number and the style of security guards. So they were just like running at him as he like knocked them comically side to side, and there were just so many and they kept coming.
Well, this had a real energy of like they just like were piled around him and he was like erupting from the top. Like it was kind of like some kind of a painting, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway,
I was thinking about like in the ancient world how like just really big guys were like the soldiers you put like in the middle, like a Goliath type. It's like he's a giant, like he can take down anybody because you're just like, you know, hitting each other basically. And I was like, Wardlow's Goliath here, and I hope he wins.
You know, he's physically he's Goliath, but emotionally he's David.
That's right. And yeah, power dynamic wise
exactly. That's really beautiful, interesting. Anyway, he blocked MJF, basically the pile of security guards blocked MJF from getting back to the ring, so he lost via countout.
He tried to bribe Bryce. He told Bryce he'd pay him three times what Tony Khan pays him if he didn't count out, and Bryce would not be bribed.
Bryce is the perfect ref for that bit too, because as we all know, Rick Knox would be bribed,
and Audrey, you would never think for a second she would.
No,
ever
you
be
would
bribed.
You would never even try. Mm-hmm. But with Bryce, like his little indignance about the whole thing was just so funny. He's just like the most perfect,
and he has like a natural energy of like, if you think that's how I'm teaching my kids how to live, you've got another.
This math class does not run that way.
And so Wardlow said, he screamed at the camera and was like, I won't stop until you break my contract. Later, MJF did a promo where he was like, okay, I'm changing tactics. I will not be making you sit at home. I'm going to send you to the slaughter. And so Wardlow is fighting the Butcher next week.
I do like how it seems like MJF's contract is sort of like, he's kind of a co-equal to Tony Khan and can book people how he wants, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Do you have to run it by Tony Khan, MJF?
Right. Well, because he was like, In wrestling world, I don't know, because he didn't have to, he just got to book like the five labors of Jericho and like what the things he did with the Punk. He just announced that and that was fine. But I think there has been matches before that he's like, oh, they said I had to do that. Why do I have to do that? So like, it's like, I like the idea of MJF and Tony Khan co-run this company.
Or it's like Tony Khan just like chooses. He's like he's really a bully, so a lot of times I just don't want to deal with it. But then sometimes
Tony Khan's kind of like a bad manager, and MJF's like his number two, like his deputy, and he's just like, sometimes,
oh my God,
step
MJF
in,
is
sometimes it's
Dwight.
Too much trouble. Yeah, right. He's assistant to the Tony Khan.
interest. We're onto something here. Who else do you want to see Wardlow fight? If this is going to be like the road we're going down, like where do you see us going here?
I mean, in terms of matches, like I would really love to see Wardlow just like ragdoll some little guys. Like it doesn't make sense, but it's like he should definitely ragdoll like Orange Cassidy and Darby. Yeah. Like they're not heels. MJF can't command them, but like that's what I want to see.
I want him to get his freedom so he can start ragdolling those little boys.
It is true that, like, not to bring up Marco Stunt for the second time on this podcast, but right before Marco left.
Huge Marco head.
Right before he left, Marco Stunt had a dark match with Wardlow.
Yeah.
That was so fucking funny. It was, like, perfect. So, like, that does make me very alive for him to wrestle a little guy.
Yeah.
And if he wrestled Ricky Starks, I would like it.
That'd be great.
That would be fun. That would be a really fun match.
It'll probably do like Private Party too, because like,
oh my god, I would love that.
Yeah,
that's right. Because this was MJF paid Andrade for the use of the Butcher. I like that they are continuing that, and I hope that eventually MJF and Andrade get in a disagreement about their crimes. That'll be
sort
fun.
Of a corporate disagreement.
Yeah.
what if they did a handicap match where it was Wardlow versus both of Private Party?
Great.
Ooh, I'd love that.
The screams that we would hear during them.
Isaiah Cassidy has just like really mastered that high pitched shriek. I would love to hear it every week on Dynamite.
It's too good. Okay. Well, anything else that you guys had to say about the MJF Wardlow?
Do you think MJF is wearing some kind of underwear that emphasizes?
You're willing to go there,
situation.
And I respect that. Yes, I do. I think that he's determined to always have the biggest bulge, the most apparent bulge in the company.
It's so pert.
Very arresting.
You're right. It's sitting up.
Do you think he has like a dick bra under there or something?
I don't know. Maybe it's built the way the fabric is.
Something. I honestly, actually for non-MJF reasons, I feel like somebody else was wrestling in their little panties and someone grabbed them. And I was like, are we going to get a front flash? And then I started Googling, like, do wrestlers wear underwear under their panties? And I got to some weird sites. anyway, that really conflated like pro wrestling and amateur wrestling. Like they talk about both on the same site. And I was like, I don't think any of this information is good. But one of these sites also had the question, do pro wrestlers, women, wrestle on their periods? And they were like, yes, and it can even be advantageous. Oh, and I was like, what kind of weird man wrote this question answer?
I'm so sorry. You ended up on a fetish site. So.
I think maybe most of the answers were so innocuous. And then this was like, I was like, excuse me? And then they were like, you're actually stronger during the first 2 weeks of your cycle. I was
they're actually way stronger because they attract bears and they get so much practice fighting off the bears that they become excellent wrestlers.
I know. On my period, I'm just like lifting cars off of small children and stuff. So,
wow. Interesting.
Anyway,
well,
I just needed to bring you into the journey and
really?
Anyway, some of them wear jockstraps and some of them don't, according to some sites. So.
Okay, well, I think that MJF is wearing a push-up jockstrap. You sure do see it. You sure do see it. That's all we have to say about that. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for raising that point.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's move on. Swerve Strickland fought QT Marshall on Rampage. The only interesting thing about this was that apparently Aaron Solo and Nick Comrade still exist and are affiliated with QT Marshall.
That's crazy. I can't believe Cody didn't take like the whole Codyverse with him when he left.
I know. And I'm not even like saying that they shouldn't be here, but I'm just like, what do those men do? I feel like I'm never seeing them. And then when I am, I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I know. They're like features extras in a show I never watched.
But then sometimes they have a crossover with my show. And I'm just like, okay, well, I don't watch Chicago Fire. So
these aren't even important
characters on Chicago Fire.
They're the background detectives on Chicago Fire.
Yeah. So Swerve beat QT, jobber. And then
QT has totally become a jobber, and it's really funny to me. He's becoming a very pathetic man, so it wouldn't surprise me if
Will not be falling victim to QT. Are you falling victim to QT, Anne?
No, I don't have a thing for pathetic men, though. Like, I was thinking Leah.
I thought
last
week you said you did. I thought there was a pathetic man you identified as your
man?
Love.
Really?
Yeah.
And I said that I would be so kind to you. I was like, I'll be so kind to you.
You were.
Love.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know who it was, but maybe it was Tony Nese.
No, it was not. Tony Nese. No, he didn't do anything last week.
I do like Tony Nese's new. I mean, I don't care about Tony Nese, but I do think it's very funny that he just keeps showing up to be like, nobody takes me seriously.
Well, it's very funny too because he's like, everyone wants to interview Hook and not me, just because he wrestles and he's cool and charismatic and everyone likes him, and all I do is sit in the audience.
Like, Tony, yeah, we've never yeah, seen buddy. You do anything, so that's yeah. pretty much the biggest thing. Anyway, after Swerve won, Ricky and Will Hobbs challenged Swerve and Keith Lee to a tag team bout on Dynamite in New Orleans, which is Ricky's hometown. Mm-hmm. So this was an extremely fun match. Mm-hmm. Just like really good. Just good.
These guys are all like so charismatic and likable. It's crazy. Yeah. It's just like they're very fun to watch. And they're all very different personalities too, which is cool.
Yeah, and they all inhibit their personalities really well. So like yeah. even when they're not actively doing anything, they're still like you can tell what's going on with all four of them. It's great. Yeah. Like they're
and
fantastic.
You think they're so different they might not merge well, but they really merge
yeah.
very well.
Yeah.
It's very cool to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that we could get a little more insight into the Swerve Keith Lee alliance. Yeah. I feel like yeah, we haven't sure. really gotten any
much of
like,
anything
promos where they're just kind of you're seeing like, okay, this is what's going on with you guys. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Maybe it's like that it feels extra clear in this feud because Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs are such a fun like legit duo where I'm like yeah. I've seen you guys do promos, I've like mm-hmm. feel like I've seen you grow as like friends and actually like even though they always fit pretty well together on Team Taz, like recently I've been like you guys are the best, like you just are such little freaks and
right.
I think you really like each other and you're like really like mean little guys.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it because I'm like, they've always been around and been fun. But I was like, I think Brian Cage left and then they started really pairing up all the
yeah.
time. And I feel like when Will Hobbs started wearing that fur coat and the two of them were doing promos, I feel like that's when for
yeah.
me it like really suddenly like leaped out as like these guys are the best. And I'm loving everything they're doing.
The background story that Tony Khan bought him that fur coat and then he just refused to take it off is the funniest thing. Every time I saw him in it, I just feel God. Like that's his fur coat. He's so proud of it.
The fact that Tony Khan is the one who thought this fur coat will be great is just like, it's so funny. I don't know. It seems very out of case. It's like, that's so good. You're right. But you're such a skinny little nerd. Like, how did you know? I don't know.
I know. So I don't think billionaires should exist, but Tony Khan's the only one that's doing it right.
He's swinging
having
for the
such
fences.
A good time. Yeah.
So I would like to see some more like Swerve Keith Lee and just yeah. like generally more like promos in general that aren't just like talking head promos. Like I want to yeah. see some stuff going on.
And they're both really good at talking, so I feel like yeah. if you gave them the opportunity, they could really sell me.
Yeah. After the spot where Swerve flipped off of Keith Lee's chest, you must show me those men having a conversation.
Seriously.
Like, when I see that, I like, come on. I yeah. know that they, I know that they must be very funny together. Like, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
I want to see it. And then Ricky and Hobbs won. Taz was ringside, which I felt like I haven't seen Taz ringside in a billion
years. No, because he's been on commentary.
Because he's been on commentary, yeah, but.
But when he runs down there from commentary or does anything, it's so delightful.
He
I know,
like really
but to see his whole body,
down.
Like,
I mean,
boy.
It was fun. And then he interfered and like hooked Keith Lee's ankle. Taz is like worked up. Like, because who was it all? Was it about Keith Lee? He was like tweeting a bunch being like, oh, it was about Suzuki and Samoa Joe. He was being like, if it were 20 years ago, we'd make this a three-way, but it's not, so I can't. Like, I was just like, Taz, you're so horny to wrestle right now. I love that.
I know.
I know.
He's like, I haven't kept it up.
Yeah. I saw him say something because somebody was like, well, Billy Gunn's still doing it. And he was like, Billy Gunn didn't stop. Billy Gunn just kept going. I stopped.
Like, I got injured and I stopped and I can't do it.
Like, yeah. He was so mad.
And it is kind of like, Billy Gunn's still doing it, but at what cost? Like, to maintain that body?
I mean, some steroids are in the mix there for sure. So
you have to understand. You have to imagine that man's testicles are so tiny.
You have to understand the ascent like she'd seen them. She's like, well, you have to understand.
When I look at them.
Well, I have an announcement. I've recently become a stepmother
to two beautiful boys.
A couple of Leah's silly sons.
Anyway, so that suggested to me that like we'll have some deepening of the Team Taz feud situation, which I'm perfectly amenable to. Happy to keep seeing it. Again, give me more promos. Show me more.
Yeah. I like that they got to do Dynamite this week instead of just Rampage. It was very fun. Yeah.
No, it was good. Almost nothing to say about this. So Samojo fought Suzuki. This match was not for these women. But I don't say it meanly to either of them. It seemed, when I was paying attention, I was like, yes, it's fun. And I really like Suzuki. Like, I think he's got a great energy. And Samojo seemed fine. And it was all fine. But it's not for me.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things where I wasn't mad about it. I'm like, you know what? You've done a very good run for a couple of weeks. The men can have one. Sure.
And this is a better one for them to get than many.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, the way you said it in our notes was that it wasn't for women who've only watched wrestling for 2 years, which is just, like, exactly correct. This is a match for men who've watched wrestling for 35 years. That's who's loving this match. And there was no attempt made to bring us into it. No one was interested in us being interested.
And that was kind of okay. Like, I do think that's, especially because it's, like, I think, Leah, you made this point that it's, like, we are in the minority in terms of, like, not knowing who Samoa Joe is, like we are in the minority. So I didn't expect them to really bring me in, and they didn't, and I zoned out a lot, and I'm sorry to those men. And all I want to say, actually, the reason I put it in here is because, so we had an overrun for Dynamite this week, so like they could go up to half an hour over, and the overrun was just not even the end of this match. After the end of this match, it was like Ring of Honor. Was that what it was? It was like Ring of Honor stuff.
Yeah, it was like Jay Lethal and who's the other guy who came out with?
Just another man.
Somebody else I barely know anything
and
about.
And he gave the middle finger. And then a new man appeared and they did Lights Out before him. And I haven't been a huge, like, I have not been trying to suppress Tony's Lights Outs as much as some. But he has reached my limit. Yeah, I was like, you cannot turn the lights off anymore, sir. No matter how excited you are and how much you like flipping the switch, it has to stop. And then a new man came out, very tall.
Very tall basketball
man. Apparently he's not like a that famous basketball player. And it was like,
apparently he's to get the Indian market interested because he's the only pro basketball player from India.
And that article was like, he needs to do something else but be tall. Just,
there was a Fightful report about it today that was just like, they had like interviewed some people in the locker room, like anonymous interviews, which I will show you guys later. Very funny. Like just like that people were just like, it didn't seem like the best, but you know, it's like one person is just like, but you know, if getting the Indian market like helps us come contract time, if it gets me more money, then that's fine. I don't care. I mean, what little freak is
great
that?
Great attitude.
Yeah.
Don't you think
that's
like
how
John
I feel
Silver
about my job. It's like...
I know. I agree, though. Yeah. Like, that's like, it was a real corporate take where I was like, totally. Yeah. If that is what you need to do to give me a raise, by all means.
You do what you have to do. I know. It was very funny because it was like hearing about the overrun, I was like, oh, something really cool is going to be happening. And then, like, nothing cool happened. It was like, wow, there's men I don't care about as far as the eye can see. And
I
like,
just don't want
an
overrun that, like, doesn't involve, like, anyone that I'm, like, really invested in. And I think I'm invested in, like, obviously some
like
weird people, but a pretty normal set of people. Like, there were so many people that could have been involved that I would have been like, this is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I sort of think if you're going to do an overrun, it should be because it's a match.
Yeah.
Like, I think it should
when the match ended, like, right at, like, 10 on the dot, I was like, oh, like, it's not even,
no
like,
overrun.
It's ending at the regular time. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Tony, do better, please.
Yeah. And it looked like the rest of the internet wrestling community was not impressed with the overrun. So,
yeah. Yeah. Everyone was mad.
So, for once, we're in with the zeitgeist.
Yeah. Every day we become mouth breathier and mouth breathier. Every day in every way. Okay, so on Rampage, so this is our new women section, and we have three new women. I mean, not one of them is not really, but I think we could give a score. Does that seem okay?
Yeah.
So Willow Nightingale fought Red Velvet on Rampage. It was a very fun match. Mm-hmm. You saw this one in person, Leah, and Willow Nightingale, it was her hometown crowd, right? She's a Boston girl.
Well, she goes to Beyond a lot. She's part of beyond a lot. So
I think
like
commentary said that she like went to school in Boston or something. They had some explanation.
She might have been. I thought that we had heard that she was like a beyond person. So that's why like the local wrestling crowd knew her, who she was, and was flipping out about it. But she might also have other local ties.
I'm really reaching back again. Last Friday was quite a few days ago. So, very fun. Let's give Willow Nightingale. We have seen on Dark a couple times a while ago. I think this must have been her first Rampage or Dynamite appearance.
Definitely her first Dynamite. Yeah, I've definitely heard Rampage. Her first TV. Yeah,
TV. Yeah,
I meant to say
right. TV. That's the word I was looking for. Let's give her a rating.
I would give her an 8. I liked her so much. Yeah. They didn't show her entrance, but she skipped up the ramp. And she was just like, I'm here. And she had like this beaming smile on her face the whole time. I loved her.
I thought she was delightful. Yeah, I'd give her like a 7.5, something like that. Like, yeah. And I love when the women wrestlers aren't just like super tiny little girls too. Yeah, like she was really fun to watch. And she looked like big and strong, which I really liked.
Yeah, she did look big and strong. She's a hunk. She was fun. Mm-hmm. Definitely like 8.5, 9 maybe even. I don't know. I had fun. Mm-hmm. I loved her. I'm ready to see her again, Tony. Mm-hmm. And then Red Velvet. I'll explain this and we'll come back to it. So Marina Shafir fought Sky Blue on Dynamite. So we have seen Sky Blue fight multiple times, but we are going to give both of these women scores. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do you know, I don't know why I'm saying it in that tone. Like, guys, do you feel comfortable with this? We're gonna rate both these women.
We hate giving scores. You always have to, like, pry it out of us. I know.
Okay, go.
So Sky Blue, I'd probably give, like a 6. Like, I like her a lot. I was thinking this week watching her, I was like, she's so cute. And she has that, like, fake TV tomboy thing where it's, like, she's really pretty. She's got, like, long hair, but she wears, like, a backwards baseball cap. She's, like, and she's the man, you know, when she's in girl mode.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, and that sounds not complimentary, but I actually kind of mean it in a complimentary way.
No, it's cute.
Yeah.
I like it. I can't even get into it. There's like a book that I really liked when I was a kid where there was like a tom girl like that and she gets into a prank war and at some point she has to cut off all her hair, really sad, but she has a beautiful long ponytail. So that is what I think about too. Okay. So she got a 6 from you. What about Marina? Yeah.
Marina, I'd give like an 8. I thought she was super cool, like very hunky. I like that she walked out with the hoodie over her head. She seems like a real tomboy, not a fake tomboy.
That's right. Yeah.
I think I would do the same. I actually like. I hate to copy off of you, but I'm pretty sure I would do 6. I would also do 6 and 8. I like Sky Blue. I think sometimes she looks like a cartoon character, and I also mean that in a good way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
she does. It's like especially like you can just see her doing like little cartoon character movements.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And little faces.
She should be like one of those characters where her eyes are like Disney big or Pixar big, where they're like way too big for her face.
It's probably partly too that her name is Sky Blue and her gear is blue. And like, she's just Powerpuff Girl.
I love that Marina didn't wear makeup and she was just like just striding down to the ramp. I'm not sure she was the best wrestler, but
it was
the aesthetics
a fast match.
Yeah it was hard for me to tell. Like, it was like one of those times when I was like, I don't really know what I'm watching. So
I liked for an MMA person, I liked her like whole vibe and attitude like so much better than, I mean, it helped that Dan Lambert wasn't with her, but still.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think probably I'm honestly pretty much the same as you guys. I maybe would give Sky Blue a slightly higher score. I don't know. I think I just feel affectionate for her because like that was like we saw her at our first wrestling match. And it was like my first experience of being like, oh, my God, they all know who she is. But I don't know who she is. But the crowd really loves her. Like, so maybe I give her a 7. Marina.
And a night that ended with Adam Cole and CM Punk, that feeling kept going.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone knows who they are.
Everyone knows, but we don't know.
Or not Punk.
It was Danielson.
Never seen so many. I think Adam Cole also, though, wasn't it?
It
was Adam Cole Danielson. It wasn't Punk.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like I've never seen so many men so happy.
I know. And then Marina Shafir, I think it's like, I don't really know about her wrestling yet, but for presentation, that woman is getting like a 9.5 out of me. Like, I know it is my own ish, but I love to see her out there just being like, I'm not glammed up. Mm-hmm. I'm in, like, and, you know, I say that being like, I understand that sometimes a natural look involves a lot of makeup. Do you like that? I feel like I really have to, like, justify this. It's just what I like. I like that she just looked kind of sweaty and really hot.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I thought she had good vibes. Mm-hmm. And was kind of, she ended after she beat Sky Blue, she's kind of staring challengingly at the camera, like she's like, I'm ready to take you on, Jade. Because the other thing that was going on, this was also great, I mean this was very fun, was that Jade was backstage with Mark Sterling watching her match and like taking, or like having him take notes on like what was going on in the match, which I thought was extremely
funny.
Well,
she like rolled her eyes and like looked at her phone. Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah, and then she had a baddie section watching Marina Shafir and Sky Blue wrestle, and Red Velvet was in that section. So we don't know if Red Velvet is maybe gonna heel turn, which we have said before, like, I think she'd be a very good heel.
Yeah, totally.
Well, and we have watched like these multiple matches where she has been like the face against like a local jobber who the crowd is really for, and then she kind of turns in the moment and manages to like basically improvise being more heelish and like taking that role at the moment, which I think is very cool of her to do. Like, it seems like good performing skills, you know? So but I think she'd be very fun teamed up with Jade.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I don't think we know, but great. The women really gave us some stuff this week, and we did get another, I totally forgot, we got another Toni Storm Jamie Hayter promo, which was not better, but Jamie Hayter looked great. So, so there was that. And then Jericho Appreciation Society. So Eddie and Pride and Prejudice jumped 2.0 when they were getting off of Jericho's private plane and stole Jeff Parker's shoes. I cannot internalize these new names. Like, Cage Side Seats
cool
keeps using inch. Their new names. I'm like, stop doing this to me. It hurts my feelings, honestly. It's funny comedy, but it's still Jeff Parker, and I need you to know that. It's still my son, Jeff Parker. And then later they had their trios match. Is that what it was? The commentary said something weird about it.
Commentary said a lot of weird things this whole episode, actually. There were like 10 where I was like,
the energy was funky this week. Anyway, they had their match. It did happen. Jericho hit Eddie while the ref wasn't looking, and Daniel Garcia got the pin. So Jericho Appreciation Society won, and then they beat Eddie and Proud and Powerful up some more. And that's it. That's all that happened there. So what is happening? What else is about that? You know,
no, it's very like the whole thing. It feels like I watch it and it happens and it feels like, oh, OK, that was fine. I don't know. I feel like Jericho is a little bit like when Stephen King got to that phase of his career where an editor couldn't touch him anymore. And so then just everything bloated like crazy. And it's like, buddy, like, you are good, but you need to tighten up. Like, that's how I feel about it, like everything Jericho does.
Well, I wouldn't delete a page from it, I will say.
Well, that's a whole different thing. Yeah. But
what were you saying, Leah?
No, I was just going to say, they always just go on too long. Like, and there's no progression to it, you know? So I'm like, is Eddie ever going to get two more friends? Is anything going to happen?
I don't know.
We're just going to watch them fight and then Eddie get beat up for the rest of my life?
It does feel like we're kind of watching the same thing over and over again without even, like, one thing that's been nice about, I think I said this about Julia last week, and then I'm also with like MJF Wardlow. Like, it's the same thing will happen over and over, but something incrementally different happens. Like, you can tell, like, oh, it's getting more intense, like, this is the step that we're taking.
And they tend to be like funnier throughout, whereas this, like, hat, like, the shoe stealing is funny, you know, like, different thing, like the suspenders that Jeff's wearing are funny, but like then there's just like a lot of filler feeling material too.
So it doesn't feel like, I don't know, like, what we're progressing to. I do think mm-hmm. that I think the Jericho Appreciation Society promos are funny because I love 2.0 and I love Daniel Garcia and they're just little freaks and that's fine.
The promos on both sides aren't the problem because Eddie could give a promo about anything and I really am enjoying Pride and Prejudice getting their time on the mic. Like that's the promos are great. It's just that the matches are just.
Right, it's just because we don't know.
And the promos aren't, like, advancing the storyline. Because, like, I did feel like last week's promo, like, they did a good job and I enjoyed it. But it was, like, Eddie and Pride and Prejudice weren't saying very much. And it's just, like, I just like it to be going.
You
want to
have a sense of where you're going. Like, you want to be able to say, like, okay, I think maybe this is the direction of the feud. And I'm like, I have no idea. They think maybe nothing could happen. Like, it's really hard to tell. Which is really classic Jericho, I think. Like, Jericho loves to beat a dead horse. I did say, given his current gimmick, maybe, like, the feud over staying its welcome is a meta commentary, but it's not, actually. He is doing his very funny Sports Entertainer of the Week bit, which I do think is
good. That is very funny.
And you know why? Because it doesn't take up time. I just hear it on commentary, and I'm like, that's funny. That's a funny thing
I know.
Right
it's
now.
Just, like, 30 seconds before the commercial. Yeah. Good stuff.
And then we just have two quick things. We have a little game we're going to play. I should have said that up front. We're going to play a little more of our favorite dating game. but we're just going to quickly hit that we finally saw the Sammy and Ty Conti promo with Dan Lambert that Leah had seen in person. You were not kidding about those boos. And once I had watched the promo and like, I don't remember anything that happened in this promo, but while I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, she's right. They do not know their heels. Is that, I mean, it's like, that seems crazy to me, but like,
no,
it was crazy. Like their delivery was very much like, and as you know, we're the good guys. And I was like, I do not.
Yeah.
I've never thought
they were
that.
Like, aren't you delighted by us? Aren't we charming you? And the crowd was like, actually, we would love to
crazy.
Kill you.
Really weird.
This is going to be really interesting, I think, because like, it's the same thing as the Cody situation, but Sammy doesn't have the power that Cody has. So if Tony tells him to turn heel, he will. And I don't know that Tony, I don't know that Sammy actually wants to stay a face. Like, I just think that, like, in this case, they will, once the boos are starting, like, they're gonna readjust because they're not gonna have Cody putting his foot down about it.
Yeah.
Just really,
and in some ways, it'll really work as a heel because it's like they can be disgusting couples all the time and it'll be very hateful.
It's just really crazy to me that I'm like, what conversations are they having backstage about these like Dan Lambert plot lines where it's like, you know, and I don't like, as you know very well, I don't like Dan Lambert and I don't want to be seeing any Dan Lambert plot lines. But I do think that there are people you could put in these plot lines that like, it would really, the crowd would really clearly be like, yeah, we are with that person. Like we like that person more than we like Dan Lambert.
Yeah.
So the fact that they are not doing that makes me be like, are you trying to achieve an effect that like I don't understand? Like you're being like, this is my art and I don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it does feel weird because then it's like they're not setting up Dan Lambert to be like a full on heel quite as much. It's like they're not always putting him in situations where it's like clear that he's being like that you hate him and like the other people. So then it makes it very weird. I don't know. All the sexism is just like crazy and it's crazy. It keeps going. I was thinking it's like, they wouldn't get out there and like say homophobic things at their gay wrestlers. And it's like, and sexism is also still a thing and it's not fun to hear.
It does still exist.
Yeah. It's like still happening for sure. So like maybe we could just clean that up. Maybe it's not fun.
Something about. Especially because you have a problem with the women demographic.
Yeah.
And
like your audience is like literally like at least 80% men. And like,
keep this up. It's going to be 82%.
It's not fun for me to watch. So I'm not having a good time.
Yeah. And I read a really satisfying Cage Side article on Dan Lambert where they were like, Dan Lambert has made every plot line he touched suck. Everything he touches is bad. Yeah. Why is he still here? And I was like, that is a great question. Yeah. I would also like to know that.
And it's crazy because like I didn't mind him for the first like two episodes, but I thought he was just going to be on like two episodes and that was like a full year ago pretty much.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not even just why is he still here, but why is he still here and he hasn't had to pivot or do anything differently? He's allowed to do the same thing over and over again when we haven't gotten a single what I would call successful plot line out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems it's not crazy. Like Ethan and Scorpio are doing so great with him. Like, yeah.
They're being held hostage.
It's horrible. I really like them.
The only thing I liked that Dan Lambert did this week was that he called Ethan and Scorpio the original most annoying couple at AEW. And I was like, okay, right. You got me there. That's funny.
I miss those days.
That yeah. I like.
Dan Lambert can be like legitimately occasionally funny. It's just like too bad that it's always drowned in a mass of sexism and hideousness.
Yeah. And then I will just say that I completely forgot that Darby did this promo where he challenged Andrade to a coffin match, but the whole thing was set to the wedding march. So what did you think that was about? Anyone got any thoughts? I loved it.
I loved it. I didn't understand it.
I said he wants to marry Andrade. Okay.
You know, Andrade couldn't buy him. He wants it to be a free
free exchange of, yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I just wanted to comment on it because that really felt like our brand, but whew, interesting stuff. Okay. Shall we play our game?
Mm-hmm. Let's play our game.
So producer Marjorie is going to hop Yay. On mic to give us our, this is our game where we explain what date we think two wrestlers should go on, two random wrestlers.
So I have randomly selected 8 couples, and I think that you guys should choose a number 1 through 8.
Oh,
and more if you want to do more. So choose a number 1 through 8, and I will read out who you got.
Oh boy. You guys want to, Leah, you want to choose the first number?
Okay. 4.
You have chosen Fuego del Sol and Michael Nakazawa.
No.
Did we get Fuego del Sol last time too? This guy's getting play off of this game.
I think he did.
Oh no.
Wow. That is a weird couple.
Michael Nakazawa.
What kind of date?
Those are two men I don't pay very much attention to.
I just think they'd like go like rummaging around in Kenny's trash together. You know? Like I feel
then get,
like
Sonic drive through.
Fuego del Sol is like kind of a freak. I think he'd be like, "Do you have access to Kenny's trash?"
Kenny's
look at that.
Kenny's trash has to have some weird stuff in it for sure.
God no. God only knows.
Yeah, I mean they're both little minion guys. Yeah. Like yeah. Even Fuego is kind of like, I don't know.
He has the energy of a man who's like looking for someone whose minion he could be. I
right,
know.
He wanted to be the Wardlow to Sammy's MJF, but
isn't
Sammy
it crazy that
off.
Like Sammy doesn't hang out with him? I was thinking yeah. the other day about like how Sammy like presented him with his AEW contract in the ring and how it was like really like I really liked them and it was really moving. And then I was kind of like, Sammy loves to propose to people in the ring and then ditch them afterwards.
Okay. So their date is going to be a like support group for the recently divorced adult, right? So they're sitting in a circle. They all have like a styrofoam cup of like bad coffee. And like Michael Nakazawa is like, yeah, no, Kenny hasn't called me since he got injured. I never see him anymore. I used to have a gimmick where I had laptops and that was like a whole thing. And now I just don't talk to him anymore.
Just glory day stuff.
Yeah. So that's a good date, right?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
I love that for them. I hope that they go make out in a closet. During that,
just drown some sorrows.
Okay, and do you want to choose our second number?
Yeah, I will choose number 1.
Okay, you have chosen Mark Quinn and Stu Grayson.
This truly is a random game.
I know.
Mark Quinn and Stu Grayson.
I wish that I could get to Stu Grayson. Is Stu Grayson the one that I said was like a little otter or the one that I said was French?
French.
He's the French one. Yeah. He's French Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
he's
right.
The taller, bearded,
Viking.
Dark
French
order.
Viking. Okay. Yeah. Right.
And Mark Quinn is the crazy haired Private Party.
Okay. Well, different hair situations.
Very
so
different hair
where,
situations.
And that's where any
they
date
can't
starts.
Go to the
they can't go
stylist.
To the salon together. Yeah, no. Although maybe Stu's getting like a fancy shave, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Maybe they shave each other?
Oh, God.
Is no, that anything?
I don't think I want that.
Okay, shut down. Really shut down.
Oh my God.
Well, I think whatever they do, I think that date gets crashed by Isaiah Cassidy and Dark Order. I think there's no way that that's they get a full uninterrupted date. They try to do something normal. All their friends show up, make a big scene, make fun of them.
Like, that's right. Picturing the door opens and like all these people pour in to crack it. And Stu Grayson are standing there with razors being like, what are you guys doing?
Nothing. We weren't about to shave each other.
I think this is how dating works. This is sounding really right to me.
Yeah. We know.
Yeah, no, we understand how dating works and we're great at it.
We've been on many dates. Yeah.
Many dates, all different kinds. Shaved and non-shaved. Okay, I'm going to choose 7.
You have chosen Luchasaurus and Ricky Starks.
Oh. Wow. Well, we did get a revelation this week because Lil Trent burned Luchasaurus for being the guy who asked everyone else in the locker room for a dating advice, which Hangman on a podcast had said something about how like he's been with his wife since like high school. So like he's like, yeah, when guys like in the locker room are asking for advice, like I have nothing I can say to them. And I was like, I wonder who's asking for advice in the locker room. And apparently it's Luchasaurus.
That's so funny.
I mean, and so he gets the kind of advice that lands him Ricky Starks, huh?
Well, he's trying to keep Ricky Starks. He's landed a date with Ricky Starks, and he's right in this. He knows, I cannot fuck this up. I have to show Ricky
that's right.
a good time.
This is your one chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, you know, was on Big Brother?
He was. He fucked under the sheet.
Yeah.
On Big
he
Brother.
Had on-air sex on Big Brother, so he does have a lot to account for.
So he's off to a pretty rough start.
Got some explaining to do.
I kind of feel like that's something Ricky could see and he's like, that's interesting to me. That's a yes.
Yeah, Ricky Starks might be a good match for Luchasaurus. I mean, I think it'd be interesting. They'd have a very exuberant kind of time, I think.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be boring.
No.
They'd do something.
You know what
weird.
They would do? They would go to a bar and Ricky Starks would on purpose upset some people to make Luchasaurus have a bar fight with them for his honor. And he would be like, that's a perfect night for me.
Luchasaurus is big.
They're leaving and Ricky's like, when you choke slam that guy, and like Luchasaurus is like, he likes that Ricky's happy and he's like, you did cause that problem. You did fully cause that problem, but you know what? I'll let it slide. That's okay. Do you guys want to do one more? You want to wrap it up there?
No, let's do one more. That was fun.
One more. Yeah. Okay. You go, Leah.
Oh,
say a
give
number.
Give us 3.
Yeah.
Give us 3 because there's 3 of us.
Mm. Right. There are.
This will be the sweet spot one.
Maybe we should get into a future version of this game. We should do thruples.
Ooh.
Oh.
Smart.
Is it?
Neither of my co-hosts were remotely excited about that. They're like, I don't think we will, but
it's kind of hard enough
the thing
with
is that, like,
two.
If we were allowed to like pay, I don't know, like if there's a potential for going right, but I just figure like I just pictured someone telling me like, okay, Fuego del Sol, Luchasaurus and Michael Nakazawa are a thruple now. What do they do? And I'm gonna be like, this is on hard mode now.
Yeah, Leah, it is going to be hard mode because when you practice, you get better at something. So eventually we'll be so good at this game that, yeah, we will be in hard mode. It'll be time. But you're right. We're not there yet. Okay, so you said 3.
Training wheels.
Because there's 3 of us. A thruple. So
3 is Matt Seidel and the bunny.
She's gonna kill him.
Yeah, eat but him he's going to like it.
Yeah.
They should do drugs, right? Like, they should do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, peyote.
I mean, any date Matt Seidel's on, there's going to be some peyote, I think, right?
Yeah. Like, I think it's like he shows up to the date, like, already on drugs, and, like, 2 minutes in, she's like, what are you on? And give me some now.
Yeah.
And shakes him down. And he kind of likes that. He's intimidated, but he likes it. And they go on a vision quest together.
Yeah. I feel like she'd just be very firmly in charge of that relationship, and I think they'd both be happy with it.
Yeah. He wants someone to be in charge, surely.
Yeah. And he seems like he wouldn't necessarily be unnerved by some of the things that she's up to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. I feel like he'd take it in stride pretty well.
Well, she's going to be like calling Penelope Ford in the middle of the day in front of him, being like, this guy's a fucking loser, but he had pretty good drugs. Yeah, no, we're still on the date. And he's just like, no worries. Yeah, it's all good.
It's true. True. I am. Yeah.
Well, we didn't discover this round's card low, but
no,
I think it was pretty successful.
No. Who did I like? Ricky and Luchasaurus.
I think Ruby and Luchasaurus are the most promising couple.
You into Ruchasaurus?
You into the Rooch? Hey, you down with Rooch? Okay, well, this has to end now. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Let us know if you have any date ideas for the couples we just went through. And come back next week.